Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Jared leans in. There's the snap. Jared on the end around gives it to Amon-Ra. He's going to throw it to Jared. It's on the line to the end zone. Jared Goff. Oh, baby, on the receiving end of a pass from Amon-Ra St. Brown. Oh, Ben Johnson, I see you too. That is beautiful stuff.
How are the Cowboys matching up with that? 42-29. What a fun one last night as part of a Monday Night Football doubleheader. The Lions move to 3-1. They give the Seahawks their first loss. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean, RJ, and Bobby, and the home of Jerry Jones every Tuesday coming up in 30 minutes on DFW Sports Station. By the way, I came up with a Monday Night Football theory yesterday.
All right, let's hear it.
I'm thinking that the league is putting out two games on these Monday nights to protect themselves from bad football.
I don't disagree, because they used to be just week one. That was the two-gamer. Now, yeah, they didn't have a two-gamer on week one. That was Rams-Lions week one, just that standalone game. And
because last night, if that was just Miami-Tennessee, we're crapping all over that game and all over the quality of play and quarterbacks not being there.
And they were saved by this game.
Saved.
This was a really good, fun game.
Yeah.
Both quarterbacks.
The score is even a little misleading of how, if you're just like, oh, okay, 13-point game, little misleading on how fun and great of a game this was.
It was a back and forth. That second half was great. One possession game. You know, one possession, two possession. One possession, two possession. Both quarterbacks were really having good nights.
Yo, man, Geno Smith can play. No more screwing around with it. No more, you know, pity pat. I'm just saying it. Geno Smith can play. I love when DK should be Calvin Johnson. Mm-hmm. I love when, you know, he doesn't get shut down or in his own head with stuff. He was a man last night. He did have a big turnover that maybe changed the whole momentum of things. But Jared Goff goes 18 for 18, NFL record.
And Seattle's got two really good running backs, and Kenneth Walker and Charbonnet, two really good players. They're a tough team. Defensively, neither team really showed anything, and Detroit's got a much better defense than that. At least they got better players. Their secondary kind of stinks, but that was fun, and that's what the league needed, because there's been some games with some bad quarterback play this year, and you didn't see that last night. You saw the other game, but on this one.
Like, the red zone covers this up versus just getting that 1 3 o'clock game, that 1 12 o'clock game that could be a stinker. The red zone covers this up because you get everything.
Yeah, and I mean, if that is their strategy, is to have two Monday night games to cover themselves because things had gone so poorly, it's worked flawlessly the last 2 weeks, where you had the Buffalo blowout last year, or last week, where when you were setting the schedule, you probably thought Buffalo-Jacksonville would be a decent game. And then, which was the game that came through? It was Washington and Cincinnati, which you would not have necessarily thought. Same sort of thing. You set it up this way, and Detroit and Seattle comes through. Seattle had 38 first downs in this game. Ooh, that's got to be the most anybody's picked up so far this year.
So, while watching this, of course, is through a Cowboys lens. And I just was like, okay, we did this for the Commanders. Bobby and I were like, I'd pick the Commanders over the Cowboys right now. I think Choppy and Peyton disagreed. I have the Cowboys right now ninth in the NFC. At least ninth. Now, tomorrow's going to be overall NFL power rankings at 8 o'clock. But these are the teams right now today I would pick to beat Dallas on a neutral field. And maybe even in Arlington. I would pick Washington to beat them.
Yep.
Vikings.
Yes.
Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay. I would pick Tampa Bay to beat them. New Orleans still. I'd pick Seattle to beat them. San Francisco. The teams that I have a question mark by is Philadelphia, thankfully, in the East.
That's interesting.
Atlanta. And I would give Arizona a chance, especially with the way that they play the Cowboys straight up. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 8 teams, I believe, in the NFC right now today that I have better than the Cowboys, with Philly, Atlanta, and Arizona as question marks. Not Arizona's not going to finish, I don't think, with a better overall record, but just playing them straight up, like, I think Philly and Atlanta can be as good or better.
I think, yeah, I agree. Philly, I would only have a question because of where their injuries are right now. If they were healthy, if they had everybody healthy and ready, I would say Philly's better. But the only one that I disagree with is just I would definitely say I think I'm taking Atlanta over them right now. And so, but I mean, I agree. Like, they're probably 10th out of 15, 10th, 11th, something like that in the NFC. So, I mean, and I don't know what the Rams can be. Like, because the Rams will randomly show up and play really well. And so, I mean, it's there. You comfortably feel like Dallas can beat 2 or 3 teams right now in the NFC.
Well, look, you got to put New Orleans on there because they already did it. But yeah, Detroit, Minnesota, Green Bay, Tampa, San Fran, Seattle, New Orleans. You know, Washington, I asked my handicap buddy what the spread would be tomorrow, and he said it'd be a pick'em. In Washington. In Washington. Because it's now, it opened at -3, Cowboys. And the Cowboys have been downgraded by about three, you know, a little bit less than 3 points, by about 2 points. But you got to wonder what Washington's been upgraded to. And we're seeing this week, right, against Pittsburgh. They're minus, Bobby, they're +2.5, I think you said. Mm-hmm. And they opened as a half-point favorite in that game. So, coupled with a downgrade and their upgrade, it'd be about a pick'em. So, I'm not ready to say Washington. In Washington, maybe. But I think it's one of those things where they would split the two games. But it's clear they're outside the top 5 in the NFC. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, probably outside the top 7. So, I think you can get them to 8. And that might be as high as you can get them today, depending on how you factor in Atlanta.
I don't know. I think there's maybe in the entire NFL like six teams that I'm comfortable with them beating tomorrow.
5 or 6?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Comfortable with them beating or
Giants?
Like...
Giants? Are you not saying the Bears?
As like a slam dunk, I think the Bears and the Panthers in the NFC. And then I think in the AFC, New England. And then Jacksonville. Denver.
I would pick him to beat Cleveland again, too. Cleveland can't score.
Yeah, probably. Cleveland then is probably another. But, I mean, either way, it's like 5 or 6. It's not many.
Around the rest of the NFL, Ja'Marr Chase had an awesome touchdown for Cincinnati in their win over Carolina. And he was just breaking tackles. He was going through defenders. And he was asked a Diddy-type question after the game, because Ja'Marr once told reporters his dad used to put baby oil on him before his high school games.
Wow. So Diddy?
No one could tackle him, so he'd be slippery and all slimy, and he was asked if that happened on Sunday.
Ja'Marr, did you have baby oil on today?
No. We got to keep that for somebody else, bro. Yeah, that's not my question right there. I did do it as a kid, though. We can't even ask that no more, bro. It's too much going on in life right now with that, man. We can't do that. Yeah, you can't do that.
Over to another receiver. Whenever he does anything in life, I have to play his audio. On RJ's fantasy team, Xavier Leggett scored his first touchdown for the Carolina Panthers, and he was asked about a celebration.
Your first NFL touchdown. Can you walk us through that?
Oh, man. Well, I've been telling them all week. If I get my first, and I'm going to ride dollar bill off the field. So that's what I did.
Okay, so that was dollar bill.
Yeah.
Okay, make
sure. Were you ready for it? Or because you seemed excited, and then you're like, oh, I got to ride dollar bill.
Oh, yeah. No, I was too excited. And I looked at Deontay. I see him riding it, too. So he reminded me.
I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know what he did. It does not matter. I do not care. I think it was a horse. I think dollar bill is his horse. And then Terry Bradshaw on Fox attempting to do.
Oh, my God. This was Terry's getting destroyed for this.
Leggett's on the Carolina Panthers, and Bradshaw apparently was attempting to do a Carolina accent.
Well, that's a question everybody's asking right now. Down in Carolina, Andy Dalton will be facing his former team, the Bengals. And I don't think anyone predicted what he did last week, 300 yards and three touchdown passes, the first to do it. I'm doing Carolina. That's what I'm saying.
It sounds like Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Will he sustain it? Yes, he will, people.
That was awful.
Oh, my gosh.
That sounded more Louisiana Cajun.
Yes.
Than Carolina.
And they said he was trying to sell the original recipe.
Of what, Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Yeah. Does it matter if Pete Rose gets into the Hall of Fame now? That, then Jerry Jones live at 8:30 next.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Diaz sets the 2-2 pitch. Swing and a bouncing ball slowly hit to short. Waiting on it, Lindor. He's got it. Throws to first. Put it in the box. Diaz slams the glove down. He is pounced on by Alvarez. And the New York Mets are headed to postseason play.
Everything baseball was hoping for yesterday?
Yes, it was absolutely everything baseball was hoping for. They had two games, one team, or two teams playing, a doubleheader. So both teams needing at least one win to make the playoffs. If either team swept, the team that swept was in and the Diamondbacks were in. If both teams split, both the Mets and Braves were in, both teams split. So the Mets and Braves are in. The playoffs start today. The Mets have to travel to Milwaukee. So they did that yesterday. They play today at 4:30 on ESPN. The Braves had to go all the way to San Diego, and they wind up playing tonight at 7:30. You'll get started with the Astros and Tigers, 1:30 on ABC.
And baseball had to ask the teams yesterday not to celebrate too much for whoever won the first game.
Right.
So no one was drunk or buzzed for the second.
Right. They didn't want anybody to be drunk or buzzed for the second game. Tolerance is low if a little champagne. There's like even a sip of champagne or something.
I drowned in Tito's today.
But, yeah, so they didn't. I didn't even notice the Mets doing much of a celebration at all between the first and the second game. That first game was tremendous. That first game was as good as it gets.
And of course, the big news that took over the baseball world yesterday: Pete Rose passing away at the age of 83 at his home. So now people are saying, "Do you put him in? What would it mean? Would it be more insulting?" So the Pete Rose defenders are out and about.
I mean. You always knew he was going to die. Like, that was always going to happen. He's 83.
Yes,
so like, it's not like they had, like, it's like, oh my gosh, there was some tragedy where his life was cut short. And now it makes us reconsider, like, maybe we didn't treat him the right way. Like, he reached the end of his 83-year-old life. And for them to then switch on it, that would seem cruel to me. That you wait until he dies at relatively unexpected date, and then you go, okay, we'll let him back in now that he's not here to actually be here for it.
Look, that maybe that's his punishment.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Right. I mean, he bet on baseball. Like, it's
You can't do it.
You can't do it. I don't have a problem if they put it. If they had put him in before, I would have no problem with it. What they did, I had no problem with. I mean, like, he broke the rules. Like, we're not just without rules, there's chaos. And you can't have people betting on baseball.
But it's not a weak rule, you know?
It's not a weak rule at all.
It's not a weak rule.
Now, you know I would separate the two, personally. Like, I would say, okay, what he did on the field warrants being in. What he did off the field with the gambling, which it wasn't even off the field, but he was a manager, that warrants him being banned from baseball. I think he should be banned from baseball, and I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Here's what I find funny with all the Pete Rose defenders. I don't hear any of you ever say anything when Calvin Ridley or a player today gets suspended for betting. I don't see this outpouring of support. I don't see you protesting. I don't see the noise. I don't hear it. I don't read it. Why? Why all the noise for Pete, but when someone gets busted today, we're like, dumbass, you know the rules. What are you doing? You trying to fix things? You love talking about officials in the NBA and NFL refs on the take and having a problem with that, that the games are fixed, but then you want to defend Pete. Makes sense of that to me. What's the difference?
Is the Ridley thing, is it possible that they're just, that's because of the permanence of Pete's, where it was like, Ridley, all right, you get your punishment, you're a dumbass, maybe. you get penalized. Like, I think everybody agreed Pete should have been penalized. I think for them it's like, but you can't just like strike him from the record book. Like, betting didn't cause him to get 4,200 hits.
True.
Right.
True. Is he wiped out of the record books?
No.
No, but like in terms of like not acknowledging him in the Hall of Fame, like how it's just pretending like he's not there.
Like, I just think there's two different categories to be in. You either have sympathy for Pete Rose or you don't. I don't. This should not matter, but it does. Pete did not help his case by being the way he was supposedly as a person.
Yeah.
Surly. No one really felt like he was truly, you know, you have these people in life. I know a lot of them. They apologize, but they're only just saying it. They don't really mean it. It never really felt like Pete was that remorseful. It never really felt like, you know, Pete deep down was like, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm just doing this for the paperwork. I'm just doing this to get in. I'm doing this for the signing. Screw you. I'm a victim. Pete always felt like he was a victim. That probably did not help his cause. I think what we were robbed of is the purity of him loving his sport. Like, when I think, you know, Peyton Manning, I'm like, this guy was put on earth by God to be associated with football. And that's the way that I think about Pete Rose, especially with this clip. Yeah. When he was analyzing, we got robbed of him analyzing for Fox. He robbed himself, and there's underage stories out there as well. But this little clip of him teaching hitting with A-Rod and Frank Thomas that I'll never forget.
What size bat?
34, 33. Never less than 35, never more than 36 inch.
Really?
What? 35, 35 you mean?
No, I use 32, 33 ounce.
But
35 inch, one time I used a 36 S2, but I choked up like this. See, let me tell you why. Because when you get into a lull, you never admit you're in a slump. Don't ever let a pitcher tell you you're in a slump. I would tell people, you do one of six things when you get into a lull. You know what they are?
Yeah.
Okay?
No, tell me.
All right? Closer to plate. Further away from the plate. Up in the box. Back in the box. Choke up in the bat more. Choke down the bat more. Make it heavier. Make it lighter. Never change your swing. Your swing got you to the big leagues. You change your positioning of in the batter's box. Curveball's getting to you. Move up on it. You're not getting to it. Move up. Move back on it. They're jamming you. Move away from the plate. Because what they do, everybody charts every game that you play nowadays. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to go 0 for 20, Frank, mm-hmm. and have 15 at-bats where you're pulling the ball and 5 where you're hitting it over first base. You're going to develop a pattern. And you make your adjustments based on the pattern that you developed over 20 at-bats. And if you're swinging and missing, you're pulling off. Hit the ball right back up the middle. You can't pull off, you hit the ball right back up the middle.
How do people get you out? How do they pitch you?
When I first came up, they tried to knock the bat out of my hand. That's what, you know, when I was batting left-handed, I was back here. I wasn't over close to that plate. The only way you could jam me is if I swung the ball that far inside. But I went into everything. I used to think I could hit the ball inside to right, to left field, batting left-handed, better than I could the other way, because you get all your power when you go like that. All right? I can have the same swing. That's going to left field. This is going to center field. This is pulling. Just the difference in where my hands are. Same swing.
Wow.
Pretty simple.
Pete, that's church. That's why you got 4,200 hits.
And I hate that got taken off television. Because those two of the greatest hitters of all time, just sat around listening to dad at a campfire. Like, you're the one that has the knowledge to teach us. I loved that.
And athletes who can self-evaluate and self-teach and train and correct their swing, those are the guys that are just, they're on a different level.
Will the Cowboys make a move without Micah and Tank? We ask Jerry Jones live on Sean and RJ next. It is now time for the Jerry Jones Show, brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby, your home of America's team is DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for turn it on, leave it on. Are you going to Pittsburgh?
Yes.
How many Cowboy fans, give me the percentage of Cowboy fans that will invade them like they invade everywhere else?
Oh, I think last time they were there, it was pretty noticeable. So I would guess, I don't know, maybe 20%.
Okay, so you don't think like Pittsburgh just shuts everyone else out?
No, I think Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Green Bay, Dallas, they all travel pretty well regardless.
Okay. I didn't know like the home crowd would just dominate it and give you the old stiff arm.
Pittsburgh would be one of those two places that I think would do along Green Bay. Those would be one of the two. Maybe Chicago, but Chicago's never so good.
So rank the invasions of visiting crowds.
Here?
In
general.
All. Cowboys won or Pittsburgh won?
Pittsburgh feels like one to me. I feel like there's always terrible towels everywhere you go. But yeah, right. Pittsburgh's one, and then it's a small drop to maybe Green Bay, Dallas.
Green Bay, more visiting fans Green than Bay, the Cowboys?
Green Bay travels a lot. And I don't know if it's just because everybody was raised on that history from the 60s and then it has just trickled down over the years. But yeah, Green Bay gets a ton of fans.
Or they're from Wisconsin and they just looking to get anywhere warm and fly south for the winter.
The team that's weird that travels really, really well is Denver. Denver has like historically invaded cities really, really well, regardless of how good they are.
Well, they have an entire time zone of fans. They're the only team in Mountain Time Zone, right? They're the only team. They have an entire time zone of people.
All right, so we'll ask Jerry Jones about possibly making moves. No Micah, no Tank. What were the updates on their timelines yesterday from the Cowboys?
Yeah, Micah Parsons, it looks like he is going to be out definitely this week, probably then Detroit as well. Then you get the bye week, so he'll be down and hopefully back for San Francisco. And then DeMarcus Lawrence is the one that's a little broad. That one's looking like it's 4 to 8 weeks.
Let's get the official word from the main man himself, Jerry Jones, brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas here on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Hey, man. Good morning. Good to be on. Good to be with you today.
Jerry, you guys got some tough news in the last couple days about the outlook on the injuries for DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons. How do you guys move forward in terms of trying to replace their production?
Well, I think we bring the guys up that we're fortunate, I think, to have these young guys that can step up here and just basically play them. It's hard to think that available to you out in the system that is in the NFL, which is you can coach practice squad players. It's hard to think that there's someone that you can step out and coach that could literally step in this week. Now, step in for you two or three games from now, yes. And so you may see us do that. We're in that process right as we're speaking. But basically, we'll just move on and replace those guys and hope for the best. We got good news from DeMarcus. He didn't have to have any type of surgery. Confirmed again with second opinion yesterday. So that'll eliminate that bone healing time or those type of things in any type of recovery. Micah will be week to week.
Jerry, when you get information and news like this, that these guys will be out for an extended period of time, like coupled with the 2-2 start, does that make you a little bit more likely to make a trade and look at the trade deadline market before the deadline hits?
Well, if you can, but you usually don't plan on trades. Now, one thing you do, you plan for this in the off season, and you plan for this looking at your depth at your position. And you plan for it. It is going to happen. It's not a question of if. And so you don't know which positions, but you know you're going to have that type of injury attrition. What you want to do, again, is have it so that if it's possible, so that when you get to the end of the year and you're getting ready to go into those playoffs, that you've pushed it all up there and you're the healthiest that you've been, so to speak. That happened to us last year. And we're the healthiest we've been in years. And so that's the way you want to plan it and make it work.
Jerry, you have talked about the importance of just these young guys stepping up because of some of the bigger, higher paid contracts you guys have had to have. Does that formula have to remain when talking about making a deal or bringing in a higher price guy or giving a contract extension to another player, or you guys have some wiggle room in terms of switches to flip there?
There's a reason why the player will be available if you try to make a trade. There's a reason why. And it's either prohibitively high relative to what you would have to trade to get them, or the fact that we're as good as that by bringing our depth up to take the position for the upcoming game. And so you don't get any wishful thinking here when you bring somebody in or look at making a trade. Oh, let's go make a trade. It's not there usually.
Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Jerry, talking about the young guys stepping up, how encouraged are you right now by this progression that we seem to be seeing the last couple of weeks from Mozzie Smith?
Well, I think he's an exceptional athlete, rare athlete. For his size, I don't know that I've seen anybody have his skills. And he's also got inordinate strength. If he can progress in the terms of the just the football internal aspect of it, and just the grit, and just the sustaining a level of production that goes with, if you will, being a pro. If he can do that, then we've got us something, and that's what we wanted, was a really star player. He might say, and of course you can dream here a little bit, but that's what you're looking for here because we drafted him with our number one pick.
Jerry, this is obviously a big season for the future of Mike McCarthy here in Dallas. When your team sustains big injuries like the ones to Deron Bland, Micah Parsons, and DeMarcus Lawrence, how does that impact, if at all, your evaluation of the results that he produces?
Well, that's why that you say, well, it's a record thing. It's either you did or you didn't. As Bill Parcells said, your record is what you are. That's why you look behind that and you look at other nuances, and one of them will be how you dealt through the years, how you've dealt with this time when you have to step up and replace what's out on the field. And that's a part of the game. It's as much a part of the game as the kickoff.
Jerry, the Giants game may not have been the most perfect game of the year, hopefully, but it was still a win. Nick Saban said over the weekend, and when you play poorly and win, it's really the kiss of death. Is that something you agree with?
I haven't thought about that. I didn't hear that. And he's won a lot of games, and I bet he's won a lot of games when he can play better. And so I'm not for sure what he meant by that, and I'm not being critical of it at all. It's just I'll take them. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. Every game you play in the NFL, because the talent, availability of talent is so equal, and how you obtain that talent is so equal, that if you need to win some games when a few of you guys got outplayed, that's going to happen.
Jerry, there's been a lot of talk about schemes and play design this season, and I know you've talked about how confident you are in your staff being up to date on all the league-wide trends and concepts. What is the process that you guys have in place to determine that your staff's schemes and designs are always keeping pace with the advancements around the NFL?
Well, I think that's, first of all, you're going to be different. You should be different. There's 100 nuances about what your team looks like out on that field. I'm talking about from the strategies or from the system, of everything about it, from how you take on blocks if you're in the defensive line, or how you make blocks and you're in the offensive line. And at the end of the day, you look how that all melds together and how it comes together with what you're trying to do, and that's winning the games. Now, as you know, in the NFL, we appreciate a multi-success in the regular season, and I'd be idiot not to recognize success in the season. But you can have it there, but you've also got to be building to a crescendo called getting in those playoffs and playing well in the playoff. Those don't necessarily come together early in the seasons. One of the best teams I've seen play is this Baltimore team that we all saw yesterday and that our Sunday and we played. It's one of the best teams I've seen, yet they don't have the best record. But let me tell you right now, they're hard to guard. And so you just got to look at the situation, I guess would be my answer there, rather than look at some kind of general rule.
Jerry, you look up at the top of the division, you see your old friend Dan Quinn and the Commanders at the top. What do you think about the job he's been doing here inside the division to start the year?
Well, we have all the appreciation you could possibly have for Dan as a coach. He's an outstanding coach, and that's why we had him here for the years that we did. And we know that he's going to be formidable. He's really I think they've done well with their quarterback, and they know how to use him. I think he ran the ball 20 times the other day. And so they've got a young guy that they can use, and he's got a system in place that's working real well. They're going to be tough, these two games we play against them.
Jerry Jones joining us here at 105 through the Fan. Dalvin Cook this week?
I'm not – excuse me?
Will we see Dalvin Cook this week?
Oh, no. I didn't understand what your question was, and probably not this week.
Jerry, what's been holding him back? Is it ability? Is it your running backs that you already have? What's been holding him back from seeing the field?
Not a thing. You know, when you look at a roster, you look at the entire roster, and you have to adjust it for injuries, or you have to adjust it for just availability. That's a big thing. And you have to adjust it for how you're going to use them. The other day, we didn't run the ball much at all. And so you've got to evaluate how you're going to look at any position, whether it's his position or whether it's receivers or what. All of that comes to play with what you're doing. And so we very easily could be light at running back as we go into this ball game this week.
Jerry, how did you feel?
In terms of numbers.
Jerry, you know, Tyler Guyton, it looked like, had some struggles in the Giants game just with penalties and some young miscues. How do you feel about how he's been progressing?
And who are you talking about there?
Tyler Guyton.
He's outstanding as a rookie. I couldn't be more pleased with him. Now, we really have to work on our penalties, on our holding. And we all easily can see that, but we must. But as far as how he's progressing, I'm really thrilled with what I see, what he is when he's on. And I understand to some degree some of the challenges you have with the holding thing. But all in all, I'm really pleased with Tyler.
Jerry, you know, Brandon Cooks has been off to a little bit of a slow start statistically, at least to start this season. How do you feel about your receiver room behind CD and I guess Brandon Cooks specifically?
Well, we've got depth, and I'm excited to see them have this opportunity if he is not out there Sunday.
Jerry Jones with us every Tuesday here on 105 Through the Fan. What type of Cowboy fan invasion do you expect in Pittsburgh?
Well, we've got a lot of fans in the eastern part of the country, and that includes Pittsburgh. However, I'm very familiar with the following and the enthusiasm that is there for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so I don't expect any overwhelming presence, but we'll have our fans. We always do. We rode better than most anybody. And so we'll need every one of them, too, because I have all the respect in the world for that organization, that coach.
Jerry, how often do you think about T.J. Watt and what could have been here? Do you allow yourself to go there?
You know, I do, but I don't. There are so many players that are around the league that you could draft and have. And there's an old adage, it's not the ones that you don't have, it's the ones you have that you need to worry about. And so I look at players all the time, and when I see them playing well, I said, well, they're playing up to how we had them evaluated, or for instance, or how they weren't evaluated. Either way. And of course, you know, there's forever what there's 10 others that haven't done as well that you could have drafted. And then they're the ones you draft, which is what counts.
Jerry, since we're not really reacting to a game, I'd like to capitalize on having you on the phone with us every week by kind of talking about some other issues. A lot of talk about less scoring. Mel Kiper said, let's go ahead and make a rule against, you know, too high safeties. What is your thoughts on the league trend of less scoring this year, and do you think it's an issue?
Well, if it is an issue, it will be addressed, and that's part of what you've seen evolving over the years. And I've seen adjustments made on both sides of the ball, and actually on all three phases. The special teams, a significant one in the last two or three years. And so that's what happens, and there are adjustments, and those adjustments are meaningful. And consequently, I think we have, frankly, today the most exciting game that we've had since I've been involved in the NFL, and since I've been involved, frankly, I'll go all the way back to college and in football. So I think we do a real good job. It's something that gets a lot of partial and impartial evaluation, because you can imagine defensive coaches during the spring and during the off season are in for creating situations that help the defense, offense the same way. That's why it's a league of adjustments, because those adjustments you see are when it may have swung too much as far as what's acceptable to all the clubs. But that's a big part of what goes on in the spring. As you know, Stephen is heavily involved on the competition committee. And that's, is a critical part of what we do in the NFL, is get these rules right, adjust the rules for safety, adjust the rules for scoring. And we want a game that has a lot of action in it.
So, Jerry, this is kind of a random question. You don't have to answer it, but we've got, you know, we're in a political climate, especially right now. Mark Cuban and the new ownership of the Mavericks have differing political views, and people are wondering how that's going to work out with them working together. Have you ever let politics interfere or interrupt a big deal that you've had going, or it all gets pushed to the side for business?
Never. The answer I'll do with you real quick, never. Not for business, not for the involvement in what I'm doing. I'm apolitical.
And then, Jerry, we know you're a big baseball guy. Final question, your thoughts on the passing of Pete Rose, and do you think that Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame?
Well, I will tell you, I was a great fan of him. I love the passion he played with. He hit my interest peak. He was right there when I couldn't have been more interested, and I'm a big fan of baseball. I love baseball. Love to play baseball more than I did football. And the bottom line is that I really hate to see his passing. Give my best to the family, but more important, thank you, Pete, for what you contributed to baseball, and I mean that. And with all the positives and all the negatives, boy, I'm glad he came along, and I'm glad he played that great American game.
Well said. Jerry, thank you so much for the time. Go get him in Pittsburgh and enjoy the rest of your day and week.
All right, guys. Good to be on. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Jerry Jones brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Any takeaways from that, as Dalvin Cook is not going to be there again?
I don't know. I don't know why.
Well, someone else texted Bobby and said we had moved past running back. We could have asked it a little bit earlier. But not only just Dalvin, why did you bring back Zeke for his workload? Are you surprised?
What, he get six carries the other day?
Zeke snap counts in order from week one down. 32, 28, 15, 10. He played 10 snaps against the Giants the other day.
Like, I'm not unhappy about it, but no. Is it confusing for the $3 million?
Like, yeah, why is he, why did you bring him back here? Because, I mean, part of it is they say, well, what he does in pass protection, it's like, yeah, you're passing the ball a lot more than 10 times in a game. And he was, you know, carrying the ball with some of those 10. So I don't understand what the Zeke move was. I don't know why he's here. The thing that stood out to me was the question of how does this impact McCarthy as an evaluation? And when he said either you did or you didn't, and injuries are as much as part of the game as a kickoff, that to me says, like, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It does not matter at all. He's got to show that he can. It almost sounded like he was saying the response to the injury is going to be weighted even heavier. Like, let me see how you handle this, because this will tell me if I've got the right guy or not.
And all of us are in agreement that it should not give McCarthy or Zimmer a pass with Micah and Tank out.
Yes. Yeah, because, I mean, it's year five. Year one as an adjustment, sure, maybe, but, like, this is year five. It's time. You got to figure it out.
Yeah, I'm fine with not giving him a. I'm fine with not giving him a pass on it. I mean, look, I think we undervalue 36 wins over 3 years. That's just personally. I don't think Mike's the reason that they're not. Yeah, they haven't advanced to the Super Bowl. But I don't have a. I'm not going to die on that hill. I don't have a problem if they were to move on from him.
I will say, I think when I asked him about Brandon Cooks, I think he thought I was talking about Dalvin Cook again, because he was talking about, we'll see if he's out there this week.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line here on DFW Sports Station. So that was Jerry Jones with us today. Stephen Jones was on yesterday with the KMC Masterpiece. They asked him about trades, and is it safe to say a high price player wanting to be traded, going to be ruled out here?
Yeah, I don't know this time of year that anyone's willing to trade their best players. So, it's just a work in progress. We'll keep our, lines of communications open around the league. And if something presents itself, then we'll certainly look at it. I mean, it's no secret to anyone in the league, that we had two significant injuries in terms of Mike and D-Law. So, people who might have an inkling to do something, I'm sure we'll hear from them. But, for the most part, I think no one's willing to mail anything in right now.
So there's Steven talking about a little bit early here in the trade deadline, as we had discussions during the 7 o'clock expressway about Amari Cooper, Davante Adams, and Hubbard out there in Carolina. Any other names pop up that y'all saw from the Tolos that people were talking about versus just giving wide receiver opinions?
The one name I saw a couple of people suggest, and I don't think this is even a possibility, right? And I don't think Miami's looked at it. There were people saying Tyreek, that they were going, like, if things go sideways in Miami, do they want to let go of Tyreek Hill?
I think they've gone sideways.
The Bears took the wrong quarterback, number one. Washington is going to win the East. Hurts will not be with Filthy to start next year. RJ Choppy with Around the NFL, overreactions or not, next.